Okay. So nice to be back. I want to be Paiseach for a few minutes with Divrei Agoda, like the Tanoim and Amoraim used to do. And then we'll go into the Sugya and start getting our feet wet just for a few days in Hilchos Yom Kippur before we start Masecht Beitza and start Hilchos Yantif. So we have our work cut out for us. The Medrash in the beginning of Parshas Ekev starts with the Halacha. And the truth is that many Midrashim, I think more often in Chumash Devarim than in the other Chumashim, the Midrashim start with a Halacha. And they don't disguise it. They start off with the word Halacha. They announce it's Halacha. And the idea is, bepashtus, that the Midrashim were Kishmoy Kein Hu, they were drushes. And the Rav that was giving the drusha would weave together Divrei Torah about the Parsha with Halachas, with Sugyas. So he would start with a Halacha. But it's clear from looking at the Sfarim, the Sfasemes, and the Shemi Shmuel, and you know the early Hasidish Sfarim, it's clear that they understood that the, and it makes sense, the Tanoim, that the Heilige Tanoim, they didn't pick random halachas to say. When they said a halacha, it obviously had something to do with the Parsha, or what else they were trying to bring out from the Parsha. They didn't just clump together things. It wasn't like us, like I have to say a share about this and I'll throw in a little of that. It wasn't like that. Their Torah was a shlemus, and when they gave it over, it all fit together beautifully. It's a little bit mysterious that the beginning of Parshas Ekev, the first Medrash, is made up of three parts. Part number one is about parts. Part number one is about a menorah shel prakim, where the Medrash describes if a menorah is muktzah, discusses if a menorah is muktzah, and the Medrash says that if somebody, the menorah in those days was put, it was like, there are menorahs like that today as well, candelabras like that today as well, that they had to be like assembled, they had to be screwed together. Perhaps when you stored them, you dismantled them, you disassembled them. And then when it came time to use them again, you would put every piece in its right place, and the candelabra was able to be used. So the Medrash says that a menorah shel prakim, you're chayiv mishum bayne if you put it together. Okay, we know that this is a sugi if there's binyan bekelim or not, but the Medrash says you're chayiv mishum bayne. Part one. Part two of the Medrash is, maybe you think that the mitzvah of Shabbos was given to us to make things hard for us, because it's Shabbos is restrictive. No, it wasn't. The proof is, look at Shabbos. You eat, you drink, you have tainug, and then you get tzchar for that. That's a very interesting mitzvah. You have a mitzvah to enjoy, and then you have tzchar for that mitzvah. So clearly Shabbos could not have been given as something detrimental. Part two of the Medrash. Part three of the Medrash, Klal Yisrael asks HaKadosh Baruch Hu Hashem, when will we get our tzchar? Hashem says in the very end, as it says, V'haya, Ekev Tishmu, the Ekev means the heel, means at the end. You know, Lasid Lavei. Random, no? First of all, a menorah of parts, Yechayim Misham Baina. Second of all, don't think Shabbos is bad. Shabbos is good. And finally, we'll get Tzchar in the end. What's going on here? What kind of drasha is that? If your Rav gave a drasha like that in Shul Parshas Ekev, there would be some murmurings that drasha did not fit together. But the MS is that if you understand how to learn Medrash, the Medrash is telling us something unbelievable. The Medrash is telling us like this. Schar comes at the end. I'm going to work my way backwards just because it'll be clearer for you. Schar comes at the end. There's the work, and then there's the schar. Hayoim la'asoysam u'machar l'kabel scharam. Right? Today, this world, this lifetime, is to get the job done, and in the end comes the schar. And therefore, we have our weeks of the week of the, in our lives, our Shavua, our week, is a model of life. 6 days work, and then in the end rest, is a model for the way our life in Olam Hazeh is, that we spend the time in Olam Hazeh getting the job done. And then in the end, we have a day, may ein Olam Haba, we have a day of being Mekabel the Schar. Now, putting the menorah together, the Sfas Emes says that putting the parts of the menorah together is a mashal to the avoda of every yid. Every one of you has different parts of you, different parts of your personality, different parts of your different talents, different parts of your lives. You ever notice that? You have your family part of your life. You have your friend part of your life. You have your learning part of your life. You have your school part of your life. And which one of us hasn't struggled with how to fit all those pieces together to form a whole? And what's the whole? The whole that will give light, that will serve Hashem. So a candelabra of parts, that's a mashal to the avoda of every one of us, to take all the chelkei hachayim, all the parts of our life, our bein hazman in part, our zman part, all the different parts, and to have them mesuder and set up in a way that the sum total is a vessel that shines a light. Zok the Medrash. If you put a menorah together on Shabbos, you chayiv chatas. Asid lavai, the end is not the time to be doing that work. That work is to be done in this life. When Shabbos comes, the work is done. And the Torah tells that to us by telling us that if you put the menorah together on Shabbos, you chayiv chatas. Now, when I tell you can't get the work done on Shabbos, you may think that Shabbos is being very restrictive. Says the Medrash, you think it's restrictive? No, it's a mashal to the time when all the work is done. The reason for this halacha is not to make life hard for you. The reason for this halacha is to demonstrate to you the tzura of our life, which is that hazayrim bedima that we plant with the hard work. We do the hard work in the beginning. And berina yiktzayru, and we harvest all our hard work with joy in the end. That's the flow from part one to part two. And then you have, and Klal Yisrael says to Hashem, when do we get the schar? Hashem says, schar is in the end. Work is in the beginning, the schar is in the end. That's how the three, what a nice drasha, right? That's how the three parts fit together. And it's something for us to keep in mind as we roll up our sleeves for another zman, and we still, to do the hard work, to recognize that this is not hard work that we're doing for someone else. This is not something that we're trapped in this world where we have to do the hard work and vacation is so much better. This is hard work where we're investing in our future and we're building our Asid Lavai, we're building our Shabbos. I had in high school, I had a Menahel who I have a picture of hanging on my dining room wall, as some of you know. And his name was Reb Chaim Siegel, Zichrono Livracha. And his whole life, he never wanted to be honored by dinners or anything. He didn't like to accept awards. He didn't like it. And one time somebody asked, they asked him very seriously if he would be willing to accept an award, and he accepted. They found out later that he already knew that he wasn't going to live more than another few months. He was very sick. He didn't tell anyone. So he accepted it like as his last chesed to the yeshiva. He knew that he wasn't going to be alive by the next year. And when he spoke, he said, I never wanted to take this kavod. And then he explained why. Listen to the words that he used. He said, you know why I didn't want to take the kavod? Because I don't want to eat my Shabbos kugel on Erev Shabbos. That's the way he said it. Kavod, that's for the end. That's when are we getting our schar in the end? Here, I want to do the job. The Shabbos kugel, I'll have on Shabbos. That's what he said. So Rabbi say, let's roll up our sleeves and know that we're getting into the malacha. It happens to be the sweetest malacha, Baruch Hashem, that we have. We have this chus that our hard work is the hard work of the sweetness of Torah. But we're doing the work for ourselves. We're building our future. We're building palaces and castles for our future. And with that energy that we go into this man. So the Rosh Hashiva was machria that we should, this week, we should try to gather a chabura together to learn a little bit, and that we should learn the halachas of Yom Kippur. And starting tomorrow morning, Rav Leshem will be here in the morning, and Rav Crystal will speak in the afternoon about the sugyas of the Chamisha Inuyim, the different sugyas of Yom Kippur. When I realized that I was going to be speaking the first afternoon, and those of you that know me, I think most of you know me, I wanted to do something a little interesting to get into the sugya. I wanted to talk about something serious but fascinating. So I picked a Yom Kippur sugya that's not in Yuma, but it nevertheless comes up for all of us every Yom Kippur, and that is the question of being able to bow on a stone floor. As you know, shuls that have stone floors, they often, they'll give out something for you to cover the floor so that you're not bowing actually on a stone floor. There's big shilas, if the floor is marble, is that called stone? If it's made up of broken stones in Chaim Berlin, it's like tiles that have like it's like, you know what I mean? It looks like broken stones, you know? So it is stone on some level. Is cement stone? You know, is carpet covers it? Is that good enough? If you have wood, but there could be stone underneath, is that good enough? There's all these discussions. I'm not going to be going into all those details. I'm just showing you where it comes up. And it's a fascinating inyan that's been on my radar for years that I wanted to look into. So I want to thank you for giving me the opportunity to look into it. And I discovered an exquisite machlokes rishonim that I'm going to share with you. That's it's really like... I hope you didn't really get full by lunch, because this is really, really delicious. Okay? And the sugya begins, I'm going to move fairly quickly, if that's okay. We have an elite ilam here. I'm going to move fairly quickly through it. I want to be able to get to what the Shitas HaRambam is, with a few stops along the way. The sugya begins in the Sechta Megillah Daf Chaf Beis Amud Beis. And the Gemara there in Megillah says that Rav was davening, it was a tainus. And Rav, the way that Tzibur did Nefilas Apayim, the way they did Tachna Nefilas Apayim, is they actually fell on the floor, which was the original form of Tachnun. This that we put our heads down and our arms is a shadow of Tachnun. There's a reason the Aruch HaShulchan talks about it in Simen Kuf Lamed Aleph, why we don't by every tefillah go down on our faces on the floor like we do on Yom Kippur and many shuls on Rosh Hashanah as well. I'm not going to get into that now. For whatever reason, that's not our minig, but nefilas apayim, which is what tachlin is nefilas apayim. This is nothing. This is a remez of nefilas apayim. Nefilas apayim is what we do on Yom Kippur. So the Gemara says that Rav was in a shul, nofil kulei alma a'an payu, amachav beiz amud beiz. The whole, those of you that are able to chazer afterwards to try to catch the Marah Mekayim, as I'll mention each Marah Mekayim, everybody fell on their faces. They all did tachnun. The Rav loy nofal al anpe. Rav did not fall. Why didn't Rav fall? Frak the Gemara, my time a Rav loy nofal al anpe. Says the Gemara, ritzpa shel avonim hoysa. It was a stone floor, a floor of stones. V'tanya, the Braisa says, v'even maskis lo sitnu ba'artzachem le'ishtacha v'is'oleo, that you should not put an even maskis in your land to bow upon it. An even maskis, I will translate the word maskis in a minute, but you should not put down a stone to bow on it, to prostrate yourself on it. Le'ishtacha v'is is with what's called pishut yodayim v'raglayim. It's more than what we do on Yom Kippur. It's going down on your face, spreading out your hands and feet. It's like a complete vulnerability and bittul of everything to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So the Pasuk says you're not allowed to make an even maskis in your land, to bow on it. And the Brisa goes on to say, you can't bow on the even maskis in your land. But avolato mishtachave al avonim shel beis hamikdash, you can bow in the beis hamikdash. There was a stone floor, and what did they do on the stone floor in the beis hamikdash? They did bow on the stone floor without a mechitza. That's part of the gzeiras hakasev. You can't bow in your land on a stone floor, but in the mikdash you may bow on the stone floor. So that's why Rav didn't bow. So the Gemara asks the obvious question, so why did they bow? So the Gemara says the stone floor was here. So the Gemara says, okay, if the stone floor was here, so why didn't he just go over there? He said he didn't want to be matriach them. Leiboy lemitrach tzibur, he didn't want to be matriach them. So interesting that nefilas apayim beikar is a minhag, because it's a chiyuv for us, but in the seder of the hierarchy of tefillah is a chiyuv, nefilas apayim is a minhag, and Rav held that bein adam lachaveiro is a deraisa, and nefilas apayim is a minhag, and to make everyone have to move around and get up and everything, because it's a little uncomfortable, the gadol hador came in to where they were sitting, it wasn't kedai to do it. That's pretty unbelievable. So then the Gemara says, or another pshat, is that the reason why Rav didn't do it and they did it is because they used to bow down without pishut yodayim v'raglayim, without spreading out their hands and feet, and Rav did it with pishut yodayim v'raglayim, and therefore for him it was usher on a stone floor. Why didn't Rav just do it without pishut yodayim v'raglayim? He didn't want to change from his minig. He'd rather not do the minig than to change the minig. Also fascinating. You know, sticking to his minhag. In any event, you see from here that there's an iser to bow down on a stone floor. I want to ask you one kasha on the Gemara that all the Achrayim ask. I'm not going to tell you the answer they give. I think we may discover our own. Did the Gemara need to bring a brisa that says you can't bow on a stone and in the Beis HaMikdash you can? Why couldn't the Gemara just bring a pasuk? The pasuk says you can't bow on a stone. The whole brisa is just to tell you that in the Beis HaMikdash you can. Why did the Gemara have to bring the brisa? Satsemis, I believe, asks the kasha. The Turei Evan, the Shagas Aryeh, asks the kasha. Why bring the brisa? What does it have to do with the brisa? It's a valid kasha. No? Okay, and perhaps you'll have greater appreciation for the kasha when we learn the pasuk. Let's learn the pasuk of Evan Maskus. The pasuk of Evan Maskus is in Parshas Behar, the very, very end of Parshas Behar, almost the last pasuk, second to last pasuk. Loisasu lachem elilim, ufeselu matseva loisakimu lachem, ve'even maskis, mem sin chaf yud saf, ve'even maskis loisitnu ba'artzichem. Do not place an Evan Maskus in your land, to bow on it. What is an Evan Maskus? So Rashi says, Lashon Kisui. It's a Lashon of covering. Kamoi v'sakaisi kapi. Shalom, where does it say that? Kisisi, what's that about? That's right. What's v'sakaisi? What is it? What Lashon is that? Of covering, like schach, right? So Evan Maskus is a stone covering. Loisitnu ba'azach. That's how Rashi learns. Shemechasim hakarka beritzpas avanim. The ground is covered with a floor of stone. Shitas Rashi, Rabbi say, and Evan Maskus is a floor, like this floor. If this is stone, Rav Ariel told me, you guys could try to find it, Rav Ariel told me that Rav Soloveitchik has his shir on Lander Torah somewhere, explaining the research he did to find out what's going on with these stones. Okay, so maramakay manilach. Okay? But in any event, Rashi holds that an Evan Maskus is a stone floor because they would put down stones to cover the ground. Maskus is a covering floor. That's what Rashi holds. However, Tosfos argues. Tosfos on the pasuk. Tosfos argues. Tosfos of the Daskenim Ibalei Tosfos. They argue on Rashi, and they say that an Evan Maskus is a maskus. So interesting. Maskus is a lashon of. Okay, I want you to tell me where this comes from. Shehakol Sachin Biyofya. Someone. Very good. Very good. Yiska. Who's Yiska? Sarah. Sarah Yimena is called Yiska. Her name is Yiska Yud Sabachof Hey. Shehakol Sachin Biyafya, because everyone looks at her beauty. Sach is to look. Evan Maskis, the Taisva says, is an Evan Sheyesh Baitsura. It's a stone that has beautiful pictures engraved on it. Vahakol Mistaklimba. People look at it, Umishtachavim Aleha, and they bow on it. It's not the Avodah Zarah. It's a stone that when there were Avodah Zarahs that people would bow to, there was a minug that they would have a bowing stone that would be a beautiful stone with beautiful pictures engraved on it. And the Taisva says that it's not allowed, you're not allowed to bow on there because it looks like you're being Mishtachavel Letzura. It looks like you're bowing to an Avodah Zarah. It's like Midine Avodah Zarah, that you can't bow on that stone. That's what Taisva says. Harei lanu, what do we have? A machlekes Rashi and Taisvus. Rashi holds that it's a floor like this. Taisvus holds that it's a special prostration stone. Okay? Perhaps one can apply the lashon of the Targum Unklus. The Targum Unklus calls an Evan Maskis an Evan Sogda. If you know your Aramaic, you know that to be soiged is to be mishtachave, is to bow. It's a bowing stone. That sounds like Taisvus, right? It's a stone that the purpose of the stone is for bowing. Rashi holds, it's a stone floor. Okay? Adkan, that's Taisvus and Rashi. Now, I want to point out, just for the deliciousness of it, that I actually want to point out a couple of things. First of all, that it could be that Rashi and Taisus are Lashitasa. Why? Because according to Rashi, why can't you put down a stone floor? So you have to look, you have to be medayik in the Rashi and Masechta Megillah. Rashi and Masechta Megillah, when he discusses the stone floor, he says, Shalayasu Ritzpas Avonim Bebeis HaKnesses Dugmas Shel Mikdash. You should not have a stone floor in a Beis HaKnesses similar to that of the Mikdash. That doesn't sound like it's anything to do with Avodah Zarah, right? Don't have a stone floor similar to that of the Mikdash. The Kesef Mishnah in Hilchas Avodah Zarah says, he quotes this Rashi, and he says that Rashi seems to hold that the Isser of Evan Maskis is not an Isser that's related to Avodah Zarah. It's an Isser, as you find with various things, that you can't make imitations of the Beis HaMikdash. So to have a Mokim Tefillah that's covered with stone, just like the Beis HaMikdash, just like what's a similar mitzvah? Menorah. Similar? Menorah, right? You're not allowed to make a menorah of seven branches. It's an Isser to make a menorah of seven branches. Right? There's also an Isser to make an imitation Keteiros, to take the ingredients of the Keteiros and to make a non-Kadosh Keteiros. There's different things in the Beis HaMikdash that part of our honor and awe of the Mikdash is that that's only for the Mikdash. That's how Rashi learns the Isser here. And it makes sense, L'shitasei. Right? Rashi learns that the Isser is not to do what they did in the Mikdash. They didn't have bowing stones in the Mikdash. So that must be that Evan Maskis is a regular stone floor, like they had in the Mikdash. But Tosfos holds that it's because of Avodah Zarah, it's together with in the Pasuk, if you heard me read the Pasuk, it's together with Pesel u'Matzeva, it's part of Avodah Zarah, so don't do what they did, which was like Avodah Zarah. And by the way, the Menchas Chinuch, Mitzvah Shin Mem Tes, says that a big nafkamina between these two oifanim maybe if this is Yehorek Val Yavar. Right? Because if the Isser is don't do something that's like the Mikdash, there's no Yehorek Val Yavar on that. But if the Isser is because it's Daimel Avodah Zarah, it may be part of Hilchas Avodah Zarah. Abizrayu da Avodah Zarah. And Hilchas Avodah Zarah is Yehorek Val Yavar. Okay. And what's also fascinating, I find fascinating, and then we'll get to the Rambam, but what I find fascinating is that Evan Maskus is mentioned in another place in Chumash. Okay? Want to give it a try? What? Parshas Maaseh. Wow. Parshas Maaseh. What's the words? What?
It says something about Maskus.
What is it called? What does it say? Not Maskus, but Parshas Maaseh. It's Perek Lamed Gimel Pasuk. Yes, Perek Lamed Gimel Pasuk Nun Beis. It says that when you go into Eretz Yisrael, the Hayrashtem is Kol Yoishvei Haaretz Mipneichem. You'll chase away all the inhabitants of Eretz Yisrael. Ve'ibadetem Eis Kol Maskiyosam. And you will destroy all their maskios. Now, Rabbi say, Bishlam alashitas atosves. What are you destroying? You're destroying all these special stones that they used in the process of Avodah Zarah. But according to Rashi, you have to go destroy all stone floors. It's a funny thing to say to destroy. You're not allowed to bow on the stone floors because it's the dogma of Shel Mikdash. But you're destroying the stone floors. So it's interesting that Rashi over there in Maaseh says, Maskiyosam, says Rashi, base sagdas hain. Maskiyosam is a term for a base avodah zarah. It's not a term for a stone floor. When it says maskiyosam, it means the place where they had their stone floors that they would bow on. But it's not a parallel to the Isser of Evan Maskus Leisitnu Ba'artzachem, because that has nothing to do with Avodah Zarah. It has nothing to do with destroying their things. Am I making sense? So that's why Rashi Lashitase doesn't say Maskiyosa means the Evan Maskus itself, but rather Maskiyosa means the homes of Avodah Zarah, the places of stone floors for worship.
Doesn't that make sense? Because it's like their holy place, Rashi's for our Migdash, there. Holy place.
Yeah, that works. Yeah, that works.
When the Tosfos though it's weird because why would you have? I don't know what Dasikin and how they explain that.
There's no Dasikin on that puzzle.
Right. Okay. Fine. So in that case, how would they explain the extra usage of the puzzle and Kiseitse or whatever you said?
This is Masay.
And the other puzzle that we
can. In Bahar, the first puzzle.
The Bahar, yeah, exactly. Bahar, because you don't need it because you could say Klal Haim. Here. You're saying that you have to destroy that. If you have to destroy there,
no, because theirs are for Avodah Zarah. The Pasuk in Parshas Bahar is even Lashem. You wouldn't know that. You might think you have to just destroy their stones, which were used in the practice of Avodah Zarah. But if you make your own for the purpose of serving Hashem, not a Kol Shekein, I might think that a stone that's used for Avodah Zarah I have to destroy. But a stone that's used for Avodah Hashem, then I don't have to destroy. Right? You could have furniture for a church. Is that the same as furniture for a church? Right? Okay. So, we seem to have a Mahalach here. Evan Maskus, Rashi, Taisvis, Nafkaminas, beautiful. If this was a 10th grade shir would be over. Okay? However, if we want to examine the Shitas HaRambam, we need to look very, very carefully. Okay? So I'm going to start with the Sefer HaMitzvahs. We have a special chavivus for the Sefer HaMitzvahs around here. Rosh Hashiva has made us very aware of the Sefer HaMitzvahs. Sefer HaMitzvahs, Mitzvah Yud Beis, in the Loisaseh Yud Beis. I will read it to you, but I urge you to check it out. The Mitzvah Yud Aleph is about making a matzeva for Avodah Zarah. Mitzvah Yud Beis, Shehizhiranu, the Torah warns us, may asois even muchenes, to make a prepared stone, lehishtachavaisoleh, to bow on it, and this Shimshi is what we just said, afilu hayozeh lokel yisbarach, even if it's for Hashem, v'gam kein, And this also, just like Matseva, is Shelo Yizdame LaAvodah Zarah. So you shouldn't be doing something as Daima to Avodah Zarah. So this might not be exactly like Tosfos, but it's for sure in Tosfos' world here, that it's about a reaction to Avodah Zarah. It shouldn't be Daima to Avodah Zarah. Kikein Oisin, because that's what the Ovdei Avodah Zarah would do. Even mitsuyeres, they would design a pretty stone, b'melacha mechukemes, with a chachma, right, an engraver. It was a chachma, beautiful stone, in front of the tzelem, and they would bow to the tzelem on that beautiful stone. And the Torah says, ve'even maskis leisitnu ba'artzachem leishtachavaisaleh, and someone who's over on this lav gets malchus. Okay? Then he brings the safra that we saw brought, that same brisa that we saw brought in the Gemara Megillah. He says, the safra says, you shouldn't bow in your land. In your land, you can't bow on stones, but by the Beis HaMikdash, you can. The Beis HaMikdash has a stone floor. Okay. If I'm simply reading this Rambam, so two things jump out at me. Number one, that he seems to say, like Tosfos, that we're talking about a special stone here, and that special stone is an issue of being Daima LaAvodah Zarah. That's number one. Number two is that the Isser is not just to bow on the stone, but the Isser is to make such a stone. Right? Hishehizhiranu me'asois even muchenes. Right? It's not just the bowing that's Isser, but actually making the stone is also usur. In fact, if you look at the Rambam's Minyan HaMitzvahs, you know, where he just lists in very short all the mitzvahs, his Minyan HaMitzvahs of this, of Leisa Sayyud Beis, is Shaloi Lasois Even, you know, Mitzuyeres or something. I don't remember the exact lashon. But it's not, he expresses the isur that you can't make it, not just that you can't bow on it. Okay? So those are the two things that jump out when I look at the mitzvah in the Sefer HaMitzvahs, okay? Okay, I want to read to you two other Rambams. One is in Hilchas Tefillah, and one is in Hilchas Avodah Zarah. Okay? Hilchas Tefillah, Perek Hei, Halacha Yudalad. The Rambam's talking about the halachas of, not surprisingly, the Rambam's talking about the halachas of Tachnun. And the Rambam says there's different ways of bowing by Tachton. You could do Kida, which is like what we do on Yom Kippur, to go down on your face, but not be Pishut Yodayim V'Raglayim. Or you could do Hishtachavoya, which is with Pishut Yodayim V'Raglayim. He says, V'osur la'asois Hishtachavoya al ho'avanim elo b'mikdash. You can't be Mishtachave on stones except in the Beis HaMikdash, like we explained in Hilchas Avodah Zarah. Now, a lot of the certain achronim, they're like very perturbed. One second, I thought the Rambam held like Tosfos. Didn't he sound like Tosfos? And Evan Mechukemes, Mitzuyeres. Didn't the Rambam say like Tosfos? So that means the Isser is a formed stone. And the Isser is, they shouldn't be like Avodah Zarah. So how does the Rambam understand this Isser of bowing down when you're davening? Now, the truth is that we shouldn't be surprised that the Rambam says it. It is a Gemara in Megillah. Right? The Gemara in Megillah does say it. But the Mefarshim also point out, if the Rambam holds you're not allowed to make it, so how did the shul there have stones in it? What's going on here? If the Rambam is saying like Tosfos, so how do you understand the whole Gemara in Megillah? What's going on? There were stones in a shul. It says not to make stones. They didn't bow on it. What's the problem with bowing on it? It's not an Evan Mitzuyeres. You hear a problem here? The Rambam in the Sefer HaMitzvahs doesn't seem to be written by the same person that wrote the Rambam in Hilchas Tefillah. And the Rambam in Hilchas Avodah Zarah is more extensive, but doesn't make things much better. Hilchas Avodah Zarah, Perek Vav, Halacha Vav and Zayin. The Rambam talks about Matseva first. And then he says, "Even maskis lo sitnu ba'artzachem leishtachavaisaleh." He brings the pasuk. He says, "You should not." Oh, let me back up a line. He says, "If you put up a matseva, you get malchus." Okay. V'chein even maskis, and similarly in even maskis ha'amura b'Torah, even if you're being mishtachave on it, l'shem Hashem, you get malchus. As it says, ve'evin maskus le'sitnu ba'arzichem l'shtachave yisoleh. But you do not get malchus unless you do pishut yodayim v'raglayim on the stone. So you're allowed to make the stone then, or you're not allowed to? You only get malchus if you bow. What's going on here? And then he brings the halacha then in the Beis HaMikdash, it's mutter, and then he says what many of you have experienced. Umepnei zeh nohagu kol Yisrael, and therefore Klal Yisrael was noyeg lahatzia machtzilois bebatei kneisios. Have you seen that? That they haritzufais ba'avanim, to put out like sheets in shuls that are covered with stones. So again, the Rambam seems to be saying here like Rashi, the issue is just stones, stone floors, like the pashtus of the Gemara and Megillah. And he says you only get malchus if you bow b'pishut yodayim v'raglayim on those stones. That's it. So I want to pull together this Rambam, okay? I want to say like this. There's one piece of it that I'm still misupik about. I'm just going to share with you in the end my suffik. But this is what I think the shita is. Be'etzem, the Rambam holds like Tosfos. An Evan Maskus is an Evan Metsuyeres. He says so himself in the Sefer HaMitzvos. That's an Evan Maskus. However, the Rambam knew that there is a Safra that says that you can't do an Evan Maskus outside the Beis HaMikdash, but in the Beis HaMikdash, you can do an Evan Maskus. The problem the Rambam had is that there were no decorated stones in the Beis HaMikdash. They didn't have that type of stone in the Beis HaMikdash. So the Rambam held like this, that Avada, the Isser of Evan Maskus, is not about Dugmas Mikdash, like Rashi and Megillah. The issue of Evan Maskus was being daima to Avodah Zarah. But because the Goyim would bow on a beautiful stone in front of their Avodah Zarahs, you see from the drasha of the Safra that the Torah wanted that we don't bow on stones at all. However, the Isser of creating those stones, that's not Daima to Avodah Zarah. It's only daima to Avodah Zarah if you do the type of stone that they would do by Avodah Zarah. Putting down a stone floor, that's not the Isser. The Isser is to put up a stone that's similar to the type of stone, a bowing stone, that's similar to the type of stone that they did l'shem Avodah Zarah, or bowing on stones, on a ritzbas avanim. How does the Rambam have a right to say both? Because it says, Evan Maskus lo sitnu ba'artzachem. Don't place the Evan Maskus in your land. That's the Isser to place it. Lehishtachavo yisaleha, to bow on it, which Chazal Darshan, in the Beis HaMikdash you could bow. They didn't have that stone in the Beis HaMikdash. No, Vaistais, you see from here, that when it comes to bowing, there was a hakpada not to bow on stones at all. Now this answers our question. Think about how delicious this is. The Gemara says that Rav was davening. The tzibur bowed on the floor. Rav didn't bow. In fact, the Gemara, why didn't Rav bow? Because there was stones there. And it says, Ve'evin maskus le'sitnu ba'artzachem. So I asked you, why didn't you just bring the pasuk? The Rambam will tell you, because you don't see from the pasuk that you can't have stones in your shul. Because the pasuk is talking about the stones, the bowing stones. Where do you see that you can't have stones in your shul? From the fact that the Braisa says that you can do it in the Beis HaMikdash. That's the raya that the Isser of Evan Maskus applies to regular stones as well. So that's why the Gemara says Vitanya. And by the way, the Rambam in the Sefer HaMitzvos does exactly the same thing. When he brings the Isser, the Rambam in the Sefer HaMitzvos that I read you, he brings Mitzvah Yud Beis. Don't create this special even for bowing, not to be daima to avodah zarah. And it says, even maskis leisitnu ba'artzachem lehishtach avodah zarah, v'loshein safra. Why does he bring the safra? He's describing the mitzvahs. He doesn't bring every halach of every mitzvah, because this is a crucial explanation of the iser. The safra says that you can't bow outside the Beis HaMikdash, but in the Beis HaMikdash you can bow. That expands what the iser is. You see from that diuk that the iser includes also bowing on the floor. And by the way, in case you are doubting me, that the Rambam and the Sefer HaMitzvahs also meant to say not to bow on a regular floor, I want to read you, I left it out before, I want to read you the last 8 words of the Sefer HaMitzvahs. He says, Ukvar hisbo'aru mishpate mitzvah zu b'gemara megillah. Can you tell me something? The Gemara Megillah spoke about a special stone with designs on it? Did it? Not at all. The Gemara Megillah spoke about a shul with a stone floor. Does it make sense? Imagine. Listen to what's going on here. The Rambam says, you're not allowed to put down a very special stone that has designs like they used to do for Avodah Zarah, as it says in Megillah. Yeah, go search Megillah, find that in Megillah. But according to what I'm saying, it's very good. The Isser is to put up a stone like that. But once you're talking about Lehishtach Avodah, the Omar ve'evin maskes leisitnu ba'artzichem leishtach avos aleho, ve'loshein safro leisitnu ba'artzichem, ba'artzichem i'ata mishtachavim alo avonim, avalata mishtachavim alo avonim shebemikdash, oh, which hints to us what? That you are not allowed to bow on stones in a shul, then you could say, kvar hisbaru mishpatei mitzvazu b'gemara megillah. And the whole thing fits together. So that's what I think is going on here in the Rambam. The Rambam Avada holds the same thing. La halacha he holds like Rashi, but not the reason of Rashi. The reason he holds is like Tosfos. That the reason is because of being daima to avodah zarah, but he holds that the iser, Chazal understood the iser as being an iser that extends to all stones. Because Goyim bowed on a stone, Hashem didn't want us bowing on stones. Even though it's not exactly that mushel, but the Rambam had a raya from the lashon of the safra, that it extends to all stones, and that's why the Rambam brings the Safra, and that's why the Gemara Megillah only explains it together with the Safra, because that's how the Isser works. And that's what I think Shana in the Rambam is. If you want to know what my Suffolk is if the Rambam holds you get Malkus for putting up such a stone. I'm not sure about that. I'm not sure if the Rambam holds if you put up such a stone, you're doing part of the Isser. And you don't get Malkus for that? Because the Rambam says in the Yad that you only get Malkus for bowing Bepishat Yodayim Viraglayim, right? To the exclusion of what? Is it to the exclusion of anything else? Or is it to the exclusion of bowing without Pishat Yodayim Viraglayim? Knows, does the Rambam hold, the only way to get Malkus is Pishat Yodayim Viraglayim on a stone? Or does the Rambam hold, if you put up a special bowing stone, of course you get Malkus. But if you're taking a regular stone and bowing on it, you only can get Malkus if you do it b'pishut yodayim v'raglayim. That's my suffix, and we'll stop here. Yashikayach.
Full pishut yodayim v'raglayim, or even like
full pishut, the dafka. It's dafka full. That's why the Rambam in Hilchas Mefilas Apayim says if you do kida, that you don't have to worry about what kind of floor it is. Kida is a bowing without pishut yodayim v'raglayim. Okay, I have a. Index card here that has the Marmakaimus on it. I'm going to leave it here on my table. Okay, I'm going to take a picture of it because I want it too. But I'm going to leave it on my table so that if you want to look up the Marmakaimus, which I suggest that you do, I just want to tell you, like, this is it. You're not getting, like, in life, you don't get a chance to learn this sugya. You know what I mean? This is, Geshmak, this is the sugya. If you learn it now, you have it. If not, it may be 20 years before you find it again. So, Chaperein. Yashikaya.